Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller recording at 10:04 p.m. and that's British Summer Time on Monday the 4th of July. Now, happy 4th of July to all my American subscribers. I hadn't meant to be recording this late, but there are 43 links in comment of the day. Sorry about that. And it took a long time to put them up. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets. India was the big story, pushing further ahead, so far impervious to any jitters or underperformance by Wall Street. European markets, generally slightly higher, although some of the action was a little bit mixed. Actually, only two down, the CAC 40 and the IBEX index, but a quiet day with Wall Street closed. That's hardly surprising. Dollar pushed further ahead earlier today. I'm just going to check that to see where that had actually closed. Yes, dollar closing further ahead at 90.46 on the dollar index, so pushing further into that overhead resistance. That gave gold a little bit of trouble early on, but it picked up or bounced back a little bit after that sell-off yesterday, on Friday, closing at 428.75, up 135. And I should mention right now the gold shares, particularly HUI and XAU. Those are the two gold indices, two U.S. gold indices. Now, on Friday, when gold sold off quite sharply as the dollar surged to a new high for the year, the gold shares did fall back, not as much as bullion fell back, but then, very interestingly, the shares recovered towards the end of the day. So it does show that there is some quite good demand in that sector right now, and that's consistent with the earlier chart action, which would suggest that this is going to rally further. Now, obviously, the dollar remains a big headwind, but how much? Less than it might have been in other years. So, what else to mention here? I'm going to make this a short audio, given the very lengthy comment of the day that I did. I'll have less tomorrow. Because I've got the London Philharmonic Orchestra's gala dinner. I've got a table there, and so I'll be leaving a bit early. And so Owen might pick up part of the action tomorrow. Now, elsewhere, what should I mention? Copper picked up a bit in here today. That's pretty much it. Oil quietly steady with the U.S. market close. So let's go back to the equities now in the beginning and talk about India. I mentioned this in comment of the day, but I think it deserves a little bit further discussion here. You know, India is my favorite stock market for the very long term, and it's been that way for really quite some time. And I've always qualified it. I've said subject to governance, which could go wrong. But as long as the governance appears to be stable and improving, India really is a hot story, partly because the people who were all playing China and wish to play China, and you've got to go back a number of years to think how long people have been talking about China as being the next great superpower and so on. India didn't really get a look in. But then, of course, the Chinese stock market started to go down, and it went down in terms of the Chinese Shanghai A-share index. Went down for several years. People began to get disillusioned. And then they discovered India, which fortunately, as veteran subscribers know, we've been talking about since March of 2003, when it really started to get going. Well, it hadn't quite started to get going, but it was certainly showing the potential, the base formation potential. Well, come back to the present. India is very much top of the pops as far as global investors are concerned, particularly the investment managers. It's the other emerging superpower. It's got lots of advantages, as you know. We don't have the same concerns over the communist capitalism, which I've long described as an oxymoron, that you have in China. It's not as dependent on manufacturing by any means. As a matter of fact, in terms of any flow of FDI, that's likely to favor India before long. The government is intent on attracting that foreign direct investment, and I would imagine they will succeed. And there's a little bit of a chicken and egg situation at the beginning. Do we get the FDI before we get the infrastructure? Well, India's got to start on the infrastructure and be quite committed to that, and then that will help the FDI start to come in. And as the FDI continues to come in and the economy benefits from that, the infrastructure will get that much better. And then, of course, there are the traditional strengths in the software and in the pharmaceutical areas. But I wouldn't put any limits on India in terms of what it can actually achieve. I maintain that it's a much, much better investment story than China, not least because of rule of law. And therefore, India is really benefiting doubly. It's benefiting because it's a terribly good story in its own right, and it's also benefiting because of the disappointment over China. So I think that, again, just as long as there's no appalling change in governance, and I really, well, anything can happen, as they say, but that would astonish me at this stage when the doors opening up for India are so enticing that it would be absolutely madness to roll the clock back, and I don't think they will. So I feel that this is going to remain an outstanding play. Yes, of course there will be disappointments, setbacks. We'll get market corrections, not least when Wall Street next gets a bungee jump on the downside, and we may be quite close to that. So, yes, there will be pullbacks, but those are buying opportunities. And as I've said before recently, I'm not going to try to time the tops in this Indian stock market. And I think India is, if I was going to make a guess, and I will, as to which stock market around the globe had the best chance of becoming a major, major bubble. Not to any time soon, I don't think, but let's talk a number of years down the road, say 5 to 10, maybe even 15 years down the road, possibly even longer. India would be my first choice in that. Now, that shouldn't alarm anyone at this stage. That's exceptionally good news. That means that not only will the stock market reflect its potential, not only will India be fulfilling its economic potential, but that people will get carried away and drive the market too high. Now, that's great, provided you know when to step off. And it's a position that I expect to maintain for a long time and to build when we get setbacks. Okay, now the oil activity in here. You remember my nervousness a week before last and last week when I said that I thought it would struggle to maintain that move above $60 a barrel. Well, it did. It came thumping down for 3 days. But then on Friday, this last Friday, we had quite a strong upward dynamic. That really looked quite important. Heating oil pushed to a new high, whereas it had lagged previously. And today's performance by UK oil shares, at any rate, I think it was pretty well all oil shares that were trading, was spectacular. And really, following the few couple of bearish forecasts or reports that we've seen, really, we've had another spate of bullish forecasts, and there was something about an option that somebody had taken out, betting on oil moving above $75 a barrel before the end of the year, and so on. Now, Okay, there's a lot of mental noise going on out there. There always is in markets. I get a little bit worried when I get the big quantum leap forecasts in the market. That tells me that things are maybe getting a bit frothy. But this remains one of my favorite supply and elasticity trades. No, not one of my favorites. It is my favorite. Well, the energy sector, I should say, the entire energy sector is a favorite in terms of supply and elasticity. If I was going to pick one commodity within the supply and elasticity sector, it would be uranium. But you and I can't buy uranium futures for obvious reasons, and oil is going to be hugely important. Now, when refining capacity is no longer quite so tight, and I don't know when that will be, you've got a long time lag. And I think the world is just really beginning to come to grips with the refining bottlenecks. First, they were waiting, hoping that maybe prices would pull back; it wouldn't be such a big deal. But there, certainly, the United States, other countries are going to build more refineries, or certainly upgrade their existing refineries. And it's obviously mainly. In the democracies, it's maybe mainly companies that have to do this, but they will be encouraged to do so by governments, if not people who live close to those refineries. So it is, but it is going to happen, and that will then probably cancel out one of the main areas of shortage. I say probably because the demand for petroleum continues to grow, and that's despite the alternatives that are available in the marketplace. So this remains a hugely important story. It's just that I don't want to get carried away with the bullish side of the story, and every now and then when I express some reservations, talk about as I did with oil, the possibility that those people who are making the very bearish forecasts in terms of talking about the price of oil crashing back in the next few years, that we couldn't just ignore those comments. And when I say something like that, I think it does perhaps unnerve some people a little bit. You'd like me to hold an even, who would perhaps like me to hold a very sort of even, steady keel, unflinching in my view. Well, that would be demonstrating a religious fervor, which would not be analysis. And so I'll climb the wall of worry along with most of the rest of you, and it's probably a good thing, although it can be a bit stressful from time to time. What else to mention in here? I've covered the dollar. I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just say good night.